14th chapter of St. Matthew. I'll be reading verses 22 through 31 and supporting scripture from the 21st chapter, verses 21 and 22 that you've already heard in your hearing this morning. The Bible reads this morning, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. When he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Based of our thinking coming from the 31st verse, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Supporting scripture from Matthew 21 and 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. On the basis of those verses, we like to use a thought or subject this morning. Don't let doubt weaken your faith walk. Don't let doubt weaken your faith walk. We thank God for this another day's journey, and I thank God for how he is blessed and is yet still keeping us despite ourselves, because we have to be honest with ourselves. We are all a work in progress. We are, none of us are perfect. None of us do everything just right. And if we are mindful, we would be careful to sort of work out our own soul salvation and worry about our own souls and where we're going to spend eternity, and not waste valuable time worrying about what everybody else might be doing or saying or where they might be in God. As long as you know that you got God on your side and you believe in the power of God, then you pray for those that may not believe in the way that you believe, but you don't look down on one another. Hallelujah, Jesus. We are thankful to God. Good to see you, Brother Woodbury, this morning. Hallelujah. It's a good thing that when you get an opportunity to come to the house of God, you take advantage of that opportunity. Because we have learned through the course of life that a man got to work, a man got to do what a man's got to do. And those jobs do not understand the fact that I love God. All they know is that I got some work, and you said that you'd be here, so you have to be there. So you got to do what you have to do, but you have to take advantage of every opportunity to come and tell God thank you. Thanking him for another day's journey. Thanking him for the strength even to be able to get up for another day. Thanking him for the job that you might have. Thanking him for the job that you're waiting on. Because you cannot give up hope. If there's something that you have on the table that you're waiting on God to do, I come to tell you this morning, you got to trust God. And if you don't let doubt seep in, everything will work itself out. Doubt has a way of weakening our faith walk. And if our faith walk is weakened, then we are not able to do the things that God would have us to do. I find this morning that it's not by any of our goodness, it's not by any merits, it's not by anything that we've done so special, not even myself, that I'm here, but I'm here by the grace and the mercy of a mighty God, and that God has allowed us another opportunity to come and be in fellowship one with another. We come and we praise God because he is mighty, and God has sustained us through another week's journey. He has allowed us to be counted amongst the living on this day.
And this day, David declares, is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't know about you, but I got a lot to be glad about. I got something to rejoice about this morning because I got health and strength. I got the blood yet running warm in my veins. I'm looking out of eyes and I can see. I hear a noise coming from the people of God. And I'm just thankful that God is yet still blessing me. Anybody in the house just glad to be alive, glad to be in fellowship, glad to be in this house of worship one more time, glad to see one another's faces just one more time. That one that you're looking upon, this might be the last time you see them. But I thank God for today. Thank God for allowing us the power to come and to realize that there's power in the name of Jesus. And all we got to do is call on him, believe in him, and know that there's nothing that he is not able to do. We serve an able God this morning. And that God is able to do anything we need him to do. God promises us that he would never leave us. He promises that he would never forsake us. God has promised that he would go with us all the way, even to the end of the world. God will be there when everybody else seemingly has turned their back on you. God will be right there. When you are at your lowest moment, when you're at that point in life where it seems like there's no light and there's darkness all around, God is the light. And he will be the light of your salvation. He will be the one that will come to your rescue. And it doesn't matter this morning what condition you might be in. It doesn't matter what you might be going through. You got to believe that God is who he is. You got to believe as an individual that God is God. You got to believe in the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And if we claim salvation, we got to believe that Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected on that third day. You got to believe that God lives. And in order to believe these things, you got to put your faith into action. Faith and belief all ties in together. So if you say that you believe that there is a God, then what you have to do is follow up with action to have faith to believe that he is able to do anything he said that he would do. And then the thing that we love about God is that he can do something that we hadn't even heard him say what he's going to do because our minds can't comprehend all that God has in store for us. We find in Paul's writing to the Corinthians, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So what he is saying here is that he has lived his life from day to day and he was trusting and believing that God would take care of him. When we are on this Christian journey, when we are on our earthly journey, and every time we step outside of our comfort zone, we got to trust God that everything is going to be all right. There are some things that you might be confronted with that you don't have an answer. And when you don't have an answer, sometimes the enemy will feed your mind with confusion. But you got to learn how to trust the power of a mighty God. You got to learn how to listen very quietly and intentionally to that still, small voice. That voice that speaks to your heart and lets you know that I have not left you. That voice that says that it is going to be all right. That voice that said, they said no, but I say yes. That voice that says, whenever somebody say that you can't remember the word of God, said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me my strength. What we got to understand is that we got to stay focused on the power of God. We got to have our mindset in a way that we can't get off course. You know, every now and again, that old enemy would get your mind off track and you would begin to think in doubtful ways or in negative ways. But when you got your mind on Jesus, when you got your mind on a goal or you've asked God for something, and maybe God hadn't come just yet. But how many of you believe that he still will come on time? How many of you believe that God will do just what he said that he'd do in his own time? And when God comes in, whatever God does, nobody can do anything with it. God has a way of changing things. God has a way of flip-flopping things. Every time you think that you're about gone, God began to give you your strength back. Anybody ever felt like they were losing everything and all of a sudden God just renewed your strength? You begin to bounce back up and realize that I am a child of God. That old enemy had you down on a bed of affliction, but as you lay down on your back, you look to the hills, knowing that your help came from God. You began to call out on the name of Jesus, and the Lord God heard your humble cry. And how many of you know every time God hears your cry, every time God come by to see about you, You ought to have a spirit of thanksgiving. You ought to have a spirit of mind to tell God, thank you. You ought to open up that mouth of yours and tell the Lord, I'm glad that you are yet still by my side. I want you to know this morning that there is no room to allow doubt to seep in. When doubt comes in the midst of your faith walk, you will find that anxiety and stress, discomfort and uneasiness. Sometimes your faith walk is the most important walk that you will ever have in your life. Because it is good to have had a good job. It's good to have the riches of the land. It's good to have a little bank account. But the best thing to have is Jesus. One thing I found out is that money can't save you. Money can't heal you. A job can't keep you. A job can't carry you where you're trying to go. Anybody got their mind made up where they want to go? Anybody thank God that even though you're not where you want to be, you thank God that you're not where you used to be? Anybody in here just honest and want to be real and realize that we are nothing but wretches undone? Anybody realize that if it wasn't for the power of a mighty God, that all of us would be lost in sin right now? Anybody in here just honest enough to say, I'm nothing but a raggedy rag in the front of God? But when I think of the goodness of my God and all that God has done for me, I can't help but tell God, thank you. I want to know, do you have faith in the power of a mighty God? Do you know what faith really is this morning? Faith. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is the faith whereby the righteous live. This is the faith that gives us our confidence in the power of God. With this kind of faith, we can trust in things that we cannot see. You see, when we say we walk by faith and not by sight, then what I'm saying is that I'm walking, but I can't see my blessings. But I know my blessings are out there. I might be blinded with my human eye, but my spiritual eye can see that things are going to work out for my good. Because I know who I belong to. I know whose hand that I'm in. And the Bible that I read says, as long as I'm in the hand of a mighty God, that no man is able to pluck me out. So you got to stay focused on the power of a mighty God. I believe that with God, all things are possible. And I come to warn and encourage some of those this morning to beware of the fact that if you have doubt, it will weaken your faith walk. Now, what is doubt? Doubt is to be undecided, to be skeptical about things, to question or to distrust. Doubt is to regard as unlikely. You know how it is sometimes when somebody say, you know, you're going to do great things in your life. And that enemy is sitting back on the sideline. I doubt it. Every time somebody go against you, you got to learn how to trust what God says and not what man says. The Bible that I read said it is better to obey God rather than man. So now, if you obey God, you got to trust and believe in God. But now, when you have doubt, when you doubt the belief in God's provisions, when you are one that is surrounded with disbelief, some of us don't believe nothing. How many of you ever been burnt by the fire? Mama told you when you were a little, fire burned. But every now and then, you get your hand just a little bit too close to the flame. Some of you have been burnt by an invisible fire. Fire of hatred. The fire of envy. The fire of disgust and deceit. The fire of dagging people in the back and lying on one another. So you got to understand that there are times when doubt will mess you up. Do you remember the disciple Thomas? Thomas was better known as Doubting Thomas. Reason being, he wasn't there when Jesus made his first appearance after the resurrection. So Thomas was like some of us. Unless I can see it, I don't believe it. Thomas said, if I can't see the prints in his hands, if I can't see the scar in his side, then I won't believe that he is the Messiah. But Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen, and yet they believe. That's where we are. We have not seen Jesus like they did. But we believe, or we ought to believe, that he is who God says he is. Doubt is so dangerous that it will almost make you lose your life. But the key is to always recognize who's in control and to know that the God that you serve is never too far away. Now, if you want to go with me to our text this morning, first of all, we want to back up just a little bit. And the Bible declares that the evening before, Jesus and his disciples was in a desert place, and the time had passed, and the multitudes of the villages found themselves there. And Jesus said unto them, we need to depart, but before we go, they need to have something to eat. They said unto him, we don't have but 5 loaves and 2 fish, but he said, just bring them hither to me. The Bible declares he commanded the multitude, sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to the heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples gave it to the multitude. Everybody ate and were filled, and the Bible declared that they took up the fragments, and there remained 12 baskets left over. Anybody need some leftovers this morning? You done got too uppity. It's not the first time this word been preached. I'm sure if we turn back the pages of history, my pastor, Dr. Betts, preached this same message one day. So I come to tell you the same story, and it's just like serving a meal with some leftovers. But what I want to let you know is the bread that I'm serving this morning, it don't get stale. Bread that I'm serving this morning, it tastes just as good today as it did 2,000 years ago. Bread that I serve this morning, I don't have a bread box to put it in, but everything's going to be all right. Because I heard somebody say that if I eat of this bread, I won't get hungry no more. God allowed Jesus to sit there on that mountain and feed over 5,000 folk and have 12 baskets left over. And after they had eaten there, and after they had eaten it, everybody began to be satisfied. The Bible says Jesus said, disciples, get in the ship. Go on over to the other side. Our work here is done. I'll take time to send the multitudes away. When he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, the Bible says he was there all alone. Sometimes the Lord got to get all by himself. Every now and again, when you need God to do something in your life, you got to learn how to stray away from everybody else. You got to get out of the crowd and sneak into your secret closet. You got to learn how to sit down and begin to talk to the Lord. The Bible said the ship was now going out on the sea. That the bow began, they began to get way out, and the Lord began to look out during the 4th hour of the night. Now, the 4th watch of the night was somewhere between 3 and 6 a.m. So now if you visualize, the disciples are out there on the ship, and the ship is wheeling and wrangling because the waves are boisterous, and everybody is just rolling in the ship, but they can't get control of everything. But God, in his watchful eye, Hallelujah. I thank God for Jesus. For every time I get in trouble, God is right there watching over me. I see God right now standing there on the mountaintop, looking out over the horizon, looking out over the sea. All of a sudden, he sees the ship with the disciples reeling and rocking. All of a sudden, he began to realize, I got to go to my brother. The Bible said he looked out on the sea and he began to walk out on the water. Where the Bible said he walked out about 3.5 miles. That's a long time to walk on water. But I want to let you know this morning that we serve a powerful God. A God that is able to do anything that he wants to do. Gravity don't have no power over God. The waves didn't have no power over God. The wind didn't have no power over God. For God began to let his son Jesus walk out on the water. As he walked out on the water, it was very dark on the outside. And the disciples began to get scared down on the inside. You ever thought about what it's like to be out in the dark on the raging sea? All of a sudden, you see something coming at you on top of the water. They began to be afraid and thought it might be a ghost or something. But old Jesus began to know their fear. He said, don't worry, it is just me. Don't be afraid. Yeah, I am Jesus. Everything is going to be all right. But anybody in here know that whenever the Lord comes on the scene, there's always somebody that got to doubt him. There's always somebody that want to have some proof. So old brother Peter said, oh God, if it be you, bid me to come out unto you. For the Bible said, the Lord said, come. And Peter stepped out of the ship, stepped out on the sea, began to walk out on the raging sea. But the Bible said the wind began to get boisterous. And Peter began to get his eyes off of Jesus. Peter began to sink down in the water. And when he began to sink down in the water, he began to cry out, Lord, I need you to save me. Oh, Lord, I'm going to drown in the sea. Oh, Lord, you said you wasn't going to leave me. Oh, Lord, I'm down here and I don't know how I'm going to get up. But I thank God that the God that I serve, even when we take our eyes off of him, even when we take our mind off of him, the Lord God immediately reached down his hand, pulled Peter up out the water, got Peter back up on the ship. Said, oh, Peter, I want to know, why are you doubtful? Where is your faith? Oh, ye of little faith, I've been with you for a long time. I've been doing great things in your life, but you just don't know how good I am. I stopped by to tell somebody that if you trust the power of God, you better remember the story of Jesus when he walked through and he got hungry one day. And the fig tree had a whole lot of leaves, but it didn't have any fruit. And I believe that God, that old Jesus said, you will not grow any fruit anymore, for hereafter you will be withered. And the Bible declares that early in the morning, when they looked at the tree, that the fig tree was all withered up. And the Bible said, Jesus answered and said unto them, I verily I say unto you, if you have faith and not doubt, you can do great miracles. You can do what I just done. You can tell a mountain to move from here to yonder place. If you got faith and have no doubt, you can tell the devil to get up off of you. If you got faith and don't have doubt, everything you ask of God, God is going to give it to you. I want to let you know this morning that the faith that I have in God, no weapon formed against me is going to be able to knock me down, because I got faith in the power of a mighty God. For when I get weak, God makes me strong. Whenever the devil knocked me down, God spring me right back up. I stop by to tell somebody that I love a mighty God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody got faith in God? Anybody got faith in God? That you believe in that God is going to do some things. How many of y'all need God to do some things? To work some things out. To answer some answered prayers. You ask God for some things and you're waiting on your answer. I stop by to tell you, don't give up in despair. But you better shout. While the shouting is good, you better give him glory. You better give him honor. You better give him praise. You better thank God For I thank God for what I cannot see. I thank him for what I see with my eye. But I thank him even more for what I cannot see. For my faith in God, I thank God that I'm not doubting what God can do. With men, some things are impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. You can take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feed 5,000 and have leftovers with God. Because with God, your faith, your trust, and your belief in what he can do will take your little and make it much. If you are one this morning that your testimony is, Lord, I just got a little bit of faith because I've been knocked down on every side. I've been straddling the fence. On the one hand, everything's been working out. But on the other hand, the devil been beating my butt. But you know, Lord, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep the faith. I'm going to keep trusting. And I'm going to keep holding on. Because I learned that if I hold on to you, when I don't understand what you need me to do, that's when I need to be still and just let God be God. When you get to a place where you're shaking your head and you just don't know what to say or what to do, don't say nothing. Just be still and let God be God. And I guarantee you that the God that you serve, he will start ministering to your heart. He will start ministering to your need. He will start ministering to your pain and suffering. And then when God steps in and makes things better than what they was, when God steps in and make the devil out of a liar, when God steps in and he make that no turn into a yes, when God steps in and your after a while turns into right now, anybody know you serve a now God? Anybody want a blessing from God right now? Anybody want to really be blessed by God? Well, you ought to give God some hallelujah praise. You ought to thank God for what he's already done. Because if the Lord never does anything else, he has already done enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't let doubt weaken your faith walk.